Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say that. I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours. The Word of God said in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Oh, listen, friend, I believe the purpose of the church is twofold. Now, I know there's a lot of things that Christ has called the church to do and to be, but I believe we can kind of whittle down or boil down or bring down to this simple statement, and I know it's an oversimplification, so please don't be upset or aggravated at me, but I believe our responsibility as followers of Christ, as believers of Jesus Christ, is to bring men to Christ and to build Christ in men. I know there are a lot of other facets to this wonderful thing called Christianity, the privilege of being a part of the church, but I'm telling you, Jesus tells us that after you receive power from above, talking about the coming to the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to abide in us, He said, "You'll be witnesses of Me." And that's what we ought to be. And oh, friend, listen, my heart is excited. My heart is heavy. My heart is glad. So as we look together in the Word of God, I've turned my Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, one of those books of wisdom. Man calls them, and the other is like Job and Psalm and the Song of Solomon and Proverbs, but you'll find it after the book of Proverbs, right before the Song of Solomon. And I'm going to look at the last two verses of the last chapter, chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes, and share a message with you that God has laid on my heart. And listen, sir, ma'am, it's imperative, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, to consider this. It is imperative for you to know, without a doubt, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, "Why, preacher?" Well, I'm going to tell you. We're all going to die someday. And it may be sooner for us than later. And what we need to know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord is our shepherd. Well, I'll be back when Debbie gets done in just a few moments of time.
He talks with me. He tells me
what, friend? That is good to know. And if you don't know it, if you don't know the shepherd, just like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll tell you what, I'd like to introduce you to him today. I'd like for you more than I can express, friend, more than I can say, I'd like for you to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find these words as a summarization of a book of 222 verses. I believe there's better than 5,000 words in this 12-chapter book written by the wisest man that ever lived outside of a man to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Solomon said this at the end of not only the book, I think maybe his life. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether secret, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I'm going to talk to you today for just a little while about this thought. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? When you and I get down to the end of the way, when you and I get ready to cross over the great divide from this life to the next, when you and I get ready to tell our family members goodbye, our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, this world in general, friend, when we get ready to go to our long home, let me tell you something, nothing else matters as much as knowing without a doubt, knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that your sins are under the blood, knowing, friend, that you belong to Jesus Christ by an act of faith. I'm telling you, nothing else matters when you've lived your life and when you're facing the judgment of Almighty God and when you're facing your eternity, nothing else matters like knowing without a doubt that Jesus is your Savior. Now, there may be a lot of questions going through a lot of people's mind, question like, can you know for sure? Well, I want you to know something. God wrote about a no-so salvation. Friend, we don't have to guess about this thing. We don't have to worry about this thing. We don't have to constantly wonder about this thing. God sent us through His Son, Jesus Christ, a no-so salvation, friend, and it's not that hard to know. As we begin to look at this message that God has laid on my heart, let's consider for just a moment of time, if I may, this book of Ecclesiastes and the man by the name of Solomon who wrote it. He was a king's son. In fact, he was the son of David and Bathsheba. God in His grace blessed this man and woman who had sinned against Him and sent David and Bathsheba a son, a man who had actually in many ways in the kingdom that he was an overseer of, pictured Jesus Christ in His kingdom as Solomon's kingdom, at least in 2 points, and there are more than 2 points in this. I'm only going to mention two. And number one, the prosperity that he knew in the days of Solomon's kingdom. I believe that silver was as plentiful as stones. And not only in that, not only in the fact that it was prosperous, but there was peace. I'm telling you, Solomon knew a peace that many other kings, and I'll even say all other kings of Israel, did not know. And yet this man Solomon, who prayed when he dedicated the temple, who prayed when God had visited him in a dream and said, Solomon, I'll tell you what I'll do. You ask me what you will, and I'll give you what you ask. And you know what Solomon asked? He said, Lord, I'll tell you, I don't know how to go in and out before this so great a people, so would you give me wisdom? And God said, listen, Solomon, since you've asked what you've asked, I'll not only give you wisdom, but I'll give you what you didn't ask for. I'll give you prosperity. I'll give you fame. I'll give you fortune. And oh, I want you to know that in this book of Ecclesiastes that this man Solomon wrote, experientially he wrote it. He wrote it because he not only knew it academically, but he knew it experientially. And that means that he knew it firsthand. He knew it because he lived it. He knew it because this is, if I can say it this way, and I believe I will, in some degree, it's a little autobiography of this man by the name of Solomon. The man who is known as the wisest man of all the earth, that became in many ways the most foolish man in all the earth when he turned his back on God, when he went away from God, when he began to build houses for the different gods of all of his 700 wives that he had married so that he could appease them, and began to worship those gods which were really demons, and forsake the one true God, forsake the right way for the wrong way. It's no wonder the proverb says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Solomon knew life inside and out. He knew it. He knew its pleasures. He knew its victories. He knew its joys, its challenge. He knew the prosperity of things. He listened when Solomon tried something, and he experimented across the board with everything that you could think of, from wealth to wine, to women, to he planted trees, built buildings. I mean, he sought wisdom, man's wisdom in books. I mean to tell you, he got anything and everything, something gold could buy. But all when Solomon, who sat upon the pinnacle of all the world as far as the nations of this world go, and positions as far as man in nations can go, Solomon, when he got down to the end of life, said, "Listen, everyone, listen, everyone. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments." In other words, he said this: look, outside of God, outside of knowing God Almighty, outside of knowing the one true God, life under the sun, regardless of what you fill it with, regardless of what you involve yourself in it with, it is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. Now, God told Solomon through life to enjoy life. He told him to enjoy the pleasures of life. Not sin, mind you, but life. And Solomon's experiments, man, his experimentations, I mean, they were far and wide. They were broad. They were deep. They were high. And just as varied as opportunity availed itself. But listen, sir, ma'am, let me say it again. I don't care who you know. I don't care what you know. I don't care where you've been, who you've been with. I don't care what you've experienced. I want you to know, if you've never experienced a new birth, if you've never experienced a conversion, if you've never become a new creature in Christ, you've not experienced enough. I want you to know something, that the recent death of a lifetime friend has troubled me. I knew this person since childhood, and I'll not even tell you whether it was a man or a woman. I don't know their eternal state. I don't know their eternal destiny. I've preached to this person. I've witnessed to this person. They've heard me on the radio ministry that you're listening to, or one similar to it. I mean, they've said in a congregation where I have preached and voluntarily said, "Hey, I heard you, preacher, on the radio," but I don't know to this day of any witness and testimony that when they died and crossed into eternity from this life to the next, that it was well with their soul. But I do know this, sir, in the hands of a just God. I do know this: what I don't know, God knows. And God knows the heart. Isn't that wonderful? But knowledge is an amazing thing. Listen, I'm glad that I know something, but I want you to know something. If we don't know the right things, knowing anything and everything else does not matter. To have knowledge isn't an amazing thing, is it not? I think, therefore I am. And boy, what a great, simple, and yet profound statement that is. To be able to have skill, to know facts, to have ability, whether it be knowledge theoretically or practically, to have knowledge, whether it be academic knowledge or experiential knowledge, is an amazing thing, friend. Thank God for knowledge. The Bible said, though, the beginning of knowledge is to fear God. To know something is to be aware of something. I think you know a lot of things. You know your surroundings. You know your name. You know your address. You know your desires and your heart. You know your children, your family. You know a lot of things. You're aware how you feel, the temperature, whether it's day or night, morning or evening. There's an awareness that you have. You listen though, but to know also means to have a relationship with someone. Oh, listen, sinner friend, listen. Listen today. In the end, it doesn't matter who you know. I mean, you can know the president and even tell me that he knows you. See, I know President Trump just like I knew President Obama, President Bush, and right on back, all the presidents that have been here since the earliest one that I can recall paying any attention to in our history, and I think that would have been John F. Kennedy. I've known them, but listen, none of them knew me. They know that I was an American. They knew that I was part of a statistic. They knew that I was a taxpayer and all those, but they didn't know me personally. They didn't know me by name. Hey, I know the governor. I know the governor of the state of West Virginia right now. But I want you to know something. I don't know anybody of who's who, but you can know who's who of who's who. I mean to tell you, listen, friend, you might know all of that. You may know, listen, the list could go on and on. But sir, ma'am, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know the most important person that there is to know in this life. And may I quickly add, in the next to come, do you know Him? Listen, in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, after Jesus had sent out a group of men to evangelize, I'll just say it that way in a simple way. When they came back, man, they were rejoicing. I'm telling you, they were rejoicing. They had power to tread on serpents and scorpions. They had power over the enemy. Nothing was able to harm them. And listen to what Jesus said in verse 20. He said, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Can I ask you what a song asks? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know Him? Do you know my friend? Have you heard that He loves you, friend, and that He will abide till the end? There's another song that comes quickly to my mind, and I love it. I know my name is there. Do you know your name is there? Do you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? My name is in the Book of Life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, that by His blood the Savior crossed and placed it on His roll. Yet inward trouble often cast a shadow o'er my title, but now with full salvation blessed, praise God, it's ever clear. While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, I like this, high up in Heaven's Book of Life, my name is written there. Listen to what the chorus says. I know. My name is there. I know. My name is written there. Can I ask you again, sir, ma'am, do you know whether or not your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? And you can know. John tells us in John 20, verses 30 and 31. He said these and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through His name. You say, preacher, I've heard of Jesus. I know about Him. I know He was born of a virgin. I know He died at Calvary. I even understand that He left the tomb after He borrowed it for 3 days. Listen, it's not enough to know truth about Jesus. Do you know Him personally? Do you know Him intimately? 1 John. John, the same writer of the gospel, writes this in the first epistle that bears His name. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath given of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now watch this. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things John said have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of... Believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, sir, ma'am, do you know him? I'm not asking if you know about him. I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you've been to Bible school. I'm not asking you the names of all of your Sunday school teachers over your last 20, 40, 60, or 80 years. I'm asking, do you know Jesus, who they taught about? Do you know Jesus intimately, personally? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know Him, friend, in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin? Do you know Him? Job said this. He said, look, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'll see Him in that last day. And I'm not quoting it, I know I'm not, but I know Job said this. I could turn to it and read it, and I know this is right, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Listen, He can be your Redeemer. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why He came on a mission to this world. Oh, He revealed the Father. Yes, He fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies. Yes, friend, He made a plan of salvation that's inclusive and simple and available. But oh, it's not enough for you to know about that man Jesus. You need to know Him. Paul said this, 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him, friend? Do you? You say, preacher, how can I get to know Him? Well, listen, you can find Him in the pages of the Word of God. That book we call the Bible is about Jesus. He's the living Word. It's the written Word. And they are one and the same. You can find Him only, friend, though, when you read that book, if you're looking for Him. Do you know Him? You can know Him by inviting Him into your life and into your heart. You can know Him by realizing that you are a sinner, by repenting of your sin, and by asking Christ to save you. David, after that he had disobeyed God, broken God's commandments, became a transgressor, committed sin and iniquity, he said, listen, God. He said, I was born a sinner. I was conceived a sinner. But he said, I tell you what, Father, I'm bringing to you a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. And God goes on to say in that verse in Psalm 51, that's something that God can no wise cast out. Listen, sir, ma'am. Listen, sir, ma'am, I'm telling you, look, nothing else matters. You may have a bank account that would cause my jaw to drop. You may have more degrees on your wall than I have ever seen. You may have a list of people on your Rolodex or in your contacts in your iPhone, and that would be amazing, even statistically something. But I'll tell you this, friend, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know enough. The Bible tells us in the book of John 6:37, all that the Father hath given unto me shall come unto me. But watch this, he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. He said in the book of Romans chapter 13, I believe it maybe is verse 10 or 13 itself. And I'm not looking and I ought to know the verse, but I have trouble with numbers. The Bible said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, friend, nothing else matters. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We don't know when. We don't have to die lost. We don't have to die undone. We can leave the greatest thing for our families, our wife, our husband, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, our community. We can leave the greatest thing that any man can leave is a testimony that we know not just about Jesus, Brother, we know Him and the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. Oh, ma'am. Oh, sir. Run to Him now. Fall on your face. Bow your head. Humble your heart and say, God, save me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I hear that You died for sinners and I want You to save this one. Do it now, would You, sir? Do it now, ma'am. Would You run as fast as you can to a throne of grace and a place of mercy? And by grace through faith, get saved today. I hope you do that right now. Until the next time, nothing else matters. Remember,
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.